Thank you for continuing to join us on our San Francisco Bay joint venture, Don Edwards Alviso Audio Tour. This next part is actually not one specific spot, but a walk into the wetland habitat. We begin at the New Chicago Marsh, Mallard, and Alviso Slough Trail sign at the beginning of the boardwalk. The trail is only about 300 yards, and it's ADA accessible. The audio lasts about 10 minutes, so depending on your pace, feel free to pause the recording at any time along the way. Again, here's Steve Ritchie.
Right before us, the boardwalk unfolds, walking out through the marsh and around over to Pond A16. This walk is 300 yards maybe, and it's got a nice ramp, so it is ADA accessible. It's got a little border on the edge as well to make sure that somebody doesn't accidentally step off into the marsh. Not that people would do that, but it does happen from time to time. This is easy to get to, and it's easy to actually get out and see nature like you can't see it anywhere else.
Now, we're walking along this boardwalk, and I'm seeing grass.
Well, the majority of what we see here is pickleweed. It's kind of, you know, chubby-looking little stems there that look kind of picklish, and those are good habitat for the salt marsh harvest mouse. That's their favorite kind of habitat. There are also brass buttons in there as well, which are another typical marsh plant like this. But it really is dominated by pickleweed. And as I said, this area is artificially maintained with water coming in the tide that can't really get out. We're going to try to create tidal marsh other places that pickleweed like this will be naturally maintained by the tide. But here you have to bring it in and you let it evaporate or pump it out. But the result is you get a lot of pickleweed.
And it looks like a terrific habitat for a mouse. They can scurry about, a lot of protection, a lot of cover.
The target species is the salt marsh harvest mouse because it's endangered. And so we have so little salt marsh harvest mouse habitat left, we have to work really hard to maintain some patches like this. Once we've really gotten through most of this restoration and have wide swaths of this out there that are really naturally functioning, we may actually choose to do something different with this area here. But for right now, preserving the salt marsh harvest mouse is kind of its most important characteristic.
We're seeing water here. Is there something about the color of the water that we should be aware of?
The color of the water is driven by the algae that grows within it, which is a factor of how salty the water is, how long it stood in one spot. This looks like a slough channel. Water doesn't really flow back and forth too much out here. It just resides in these channels like this that are historic channels. But that color means there's lots of life there. There's a lot of plant life there, and that's part of the characteristic of the marsh. There are a couple of geese resting over there, avocets and stilts. Another goose flying by. They're noisy around here. The birds with the long beaks and long legs, they will wade in these shallow waters, and they'll feed on the invertebrates that are in the bottom, the worms and other bugs that are down there. They're quite happy to be here.
And they're letting us be here as if we're part of the landscape as well. This is just an incredible vantage point.
Yeah, one of the things that we worry about in the refuge and in the restoration project is how humans and wildlife are going to interact. And we have to be careful about how we structure things so that we have public access facilities that kind of go by wildlife areas instead of intrude directly into them and aim at them in a threatening way. We've seen studies over time, but we'll be doing more studies to find out how wildlife, uses the habitat and then how they react to human intrusions. And so we may end up changing trails that we thought were good ideas at one point, but maybe it's better if we back it off a little bit so that the wildlife have room.
I love the bird tracks that you see here.
That's right. When you look down in the mud that's around the edge of the boardwalk, anytime you're here, you'll see tracks of different birds that have, walked around. They're walking over trying to pick up brine flies or whatever else for lunch. And that area where there's mud and there's interface between the land and the water, that's really biologically productive. And that's where the birds like to hang out and feed.
Now, we're at a place where the boardwalk meets a road. Is this a levee?
That's right. This is a salt pond levee.
Where does this water come from?
The water that's in the pond right in front of us now, this is Pond A16. It used to be a salt production pond, and it was one of the ponds that was acquired in 2003. And so water is now circulated through this pond locally here so that it doesn't produce salt anymore. This pond and one that's beyond here that you can't quite see. Water circulates through these two ponds together to keep them biologically sound, but water moves through fast enough that it doesn't evaporate and start to make salt. So we've gone through a kind of a stabilization phase with a lot of the ponds like this one. And this particular one has a number of islands built in it. You can see one right in front of us, and then down to the west, there's three more. And these are long, narrow islands that were built by the salt company as windbreaks to keep wind fetch from having waves break against the levee and erode the levee too fast. One of the things, though, that they found out and we've observed is that these windbreak islands are loved by birds for nesting and roosting. So when we look at what we're going to do with this pond long term, which is hopefully in about the next 4 years, we're going to actually construct in this pond 50 islands that are expressly for bird habitat. We want this to be a place that shorebirds will come to. The birds use this incidental to the salt-making operation. Well, we want this to be a bird operation. For the birds, their protection as well, and that they're isolated out in the water, so predators can't get out to them. So islands like this are something that birds love.
What do you see when you're looking east here?
Looking kind of easterly from here, the first thing you see is the Newby Island landfill. It's a large landfill area down here in the South Bay. It's the garbage dump that is used by San Jose and I believe Milpitas and other nearby cities. And that landfill is a big thing on the landscape. Beyond it, you see the houses that climb up the hillside into the Mission Peak area, which Mission Peak is right out in front of us here. But you see some nature, but you see human activity right here, right next to the refuge. This is the only place in the country where you have a National Wildlife Refuge nestled in an urban setting like this.
What are the options from this particular point that you might recommend to folks?
From this particular point, where we're on this east-west levee on A-16 looking north, if you turn to the left and go west, you can start a loop that I believe here lasts about 3 miles that goes around these two ponds here, and there's even a spot where it crosses over to another set of ponds that has a 9-mile loop around it, so you can keep walking on levees for a long, long time. If you go to the east, you can just go around and there's another viewing area and a couple of picnic benches all about 100 yards from here where you can relax for a while, or turn back to the south and go back towards the Environmental Education Center where the refuge has a number of displays and some native landscape planting. So, boy, there's plenty of options here.
For those of you who are turned right going east, we're still on this pond here. We're looking at a very small, but nonetheless an actual boat ramp. What is this?
This is a boat ramp that was used by two folks, one by the salt company Cargill to have small boats they could use to go out and do a little work on the windbreak levees out there. But more importantly, it was used by brine shrimp fishermen to launch their little crafts to harvest brine shrimp out of the salt ponds, which was done for many years in this area. And they were used in aquarium food.
So we're talking here, obviously, natural history, but also human history. And this is a little icon of what was going on in this particular area, starting about when, through what period of time?
The salt ponds really went through a period from the late 19th century up to, you know, continue to make salt now on a few of the ponds, but their real heyday was in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. The brine shrimp operations, I think those tended to be in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and into the 70s. Now that we're down here, you can see one active landfill, another one that is just used for recycling material. You can see, looking off to the northeast there a little bit, Pond A-18 that is owned by the city of San Jose. And actually, between where we are and Pond A-18, there is a channel that's called Artesian Slough. That is the actual discharge from the San Jose Santa Clara Water Pollution Control Plant, which is basically the wastewater treatment plant for big chunk of northern Santa Clara County. It's a real big impact here in the bay from the fresh water. It's very clean water, but it's an artificial point here that we humans have added to the landscape.
As we stand here, the dots of birds moving about us, and we can hear them, I hope, a little bit in the background. I'm really spellbound at how much life is here.
Well, there's a tremendous amount of life. You can't stand here without being stunned by the amount of noise that's around you, but it's natural noise. It's egrets, it's avocets, it's gulls, black-necked stilts, just all kinds of bird life.
Wow. We're headed back to the Visitor Education Center, but on our left is another pond. Water looks very different in this pond. What is going on here?
It's actually not even a pond. It is basically a channel with a little backwater area here and there that is the wastewater discharge from the San Jose Santa Clara Water Pollution Control Plant, where they have provided advanced wastewater treatment, what we used to call tertiary treatment, to wastewater from northern Santa Clara County, and they discharge it out through a channel to Coyote Creek. This is the biggest wastewater treatment plant and discharge in the Bay Area because it serves most of Santa Clara County. But it makes a really different environment here because it's much fresher water, so we see lots of reeds here. Again, you see lots of bird life out there. Lots of fish are in those waters, so it's really a very active ecosystem by itself. It's one that, of course, because it's treated wastewater, it's a real interface between humans and the natural environment. But that's what all of this is really an interface between humans and the natural environment.
This concludes our audio tour of the Don Edwards National Wildlife Refuge at the Alviso Environmental Education Center. We offer more tours of the bay, both north and south, as well as other audio programs on our website, yourwetlands.org. The Alviso Environmental Education Center and gates are open to the public from 10 to 5 on Saturday and Sunday, and from 9 to 3 Monday through Friday. You can park outside the gate and walk in at other times to enjoy this tour and the boardwalk trail. We'd like to thank our tour guide, Steve Ritchie, and Cargill for their financial support of this project. I'm Jerry Kaye.